So we begin the year talking about health, and I want to read, one, before we get to our passage in Thessalonians, as we talk about healthy hearts and what that looks like, want to look more closely at those verses in Thessalonians. But before we do that, there's one verse in a small letter in the back of the New Testament called 3 John, and it's just one chapter, and verse 2 says this: "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you, and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." The Apostle John is praying here for his friend Gaius, and he prayed that he would prosper in every way. He mentions both the physical and the spiritual. It's a pretty amazing thing. He's praying for his physical health as well as his spiritual well-being. Our physical health truly matters. And so I would make this my prayer for your 2024 as well. Healthy body and strong spirit. Real quick, speaking of the body, the physical, as we often think of that, as I said, this at the beginning of a new year, physical health, heart health in that sense, comes with a few things and a few disciplines. I just want to highlight. Thomas Fuller, who was an English churchman who lived in the 17th century, even way back then, he said something that resonates today. Health is not valued till sickness comes. Is that true? Health is not valued till sickness comes. And he says, often we do more reacting to a health problem than proactively seeking a healthy body. To the extent that we can, my encouragement to you, my simple encouragement, is that we be proactive in this area of our lives as we begin this new year. The Word of God speaks to the importance of the body. There's three foundational truths. There's really more, but let me give you three foundational truths of the importance of the physical body. Number one, we're made by God, created by God in His image, Genesis chapter 1. The physical body is important. He made it. Number two, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, we're told in 1 Corinthians 6. There are many implications to that. Temple of the Spirit, important body. And then third, we are stewards of everything He gives us. And He has given us our bodies. We are to be stewards of that. Psalm 24 and numerous New Testament passages as well speak to that. All that to say, the Word of God, these scriptures, we connect the actions for our physical well-being with more than just the physical. We connect them to the glory of God. So I am to glorify God in my body. And that's a motivation beyond just the physical. The late Howard Hendricks, who was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary for decades, he was a teaching pastor. So he's saying this to pastors, but it applies to everybody. He challenged us in these words: the single best way to gain 5 to 10 years of effective ministry is to take care of your health now. That's true. We prepare the vessel. God uses the vessel, but we prepare the vessel. Now, of course, we also would do well to focus on mental health, financial health, relationship health, and so forth. And we're reminded of that to kind of center in and focus on that. But as far as physical, what do we need? Well, we need proper sleep. We need a decent diet, let's just say it that way. And we need to move. We need some exercise. The psalmist says this: it's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know God enjoys giving rest to those He loves? He gives us rest. He gives us sleep. God cares about this area of our life. Let's sleep better this year. I'm the last one that probably needs to say anything about that. And diet, you know, it is said that some people live to eat and some people eat to live. What category are you in? I'm not sure. I think I fluctuate back and forth. But we must always remember that God not only created food for our enjoyment, but He created it to fuel these bodies. And we need to keep good fuel in these bodies. Maybe we can do a little better there. And then exercise, moving. Staying physically fit is not easy. Or let me just put it in the negative, or further, it can be hard. You know, I've been watching a bunch of commercials lately of gyms and equipment, exercise equipment and so forth. Have you noticed that everybody on these commercials, they're always smiling while they're doing that? That has not been my experience at all. I mean, that's false advertisement, as far as I can tell. It's not easy. I'm not smiling. It can be difficult, but that discipline is important because we need to keep these, another car analogy, you need to keep good fuel in the car, but you also need to keep the car tuned up. And physical fitness is a way to do that. There's numerous ways to do that. I utilize, and I've done this now for years, my exercise time to listen to scripture or to listen to sermons or a podcast or something, that something spiritual as I'm doing that. And God often speaks to me as I'm moving. He can do that too in the middle of movement. So let's move more this year as well. Let's just take some baby steps in these areas, asking God to help us, give us the grace to sleep better, to eat better, and to move more. Now, that message may be like asking a turtle to hurry up. I don't know. But I just wanted to encourage us in that particular area of our lives. Now, let's go to the spiritual side of the healthy heart. The spiritual side as we look at this great passage in Thessalonians. All right, look at verse 1. Because remember, John says, I'm praying for you, not that just you would be well in body, but strong in spirit. So what does that look like, to be strong in spirit? What's the language we can give that? Well, I think the Apostle Paul gives us some here. 2 Thessalonians verse, chapter 1, verse 1 says this. Common opening of a letter for Paul, he says, is from Paul, Silas, Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the most important thing about us, and this is what the one word I want to highlight in this verse. Most important thing about us is that we belong to God and Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. That's an important thing to remember. We are twice His. We are His by creation, and we are His by redemption. He's made these bodies, and He's saved these souls. So we are twice His. We're told in Colossians that everything was created through Christ and for Christ. That includes you. You were made for Him. And we're told that God has bought us with a price. He's redeemed us with a price. Not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ that never loses its value. The spotless Lamb of God. God paid that for us. So we are twice His by creation and by redemption. And in light of our belonging to Christ, and I just love the thought of that, the comfort that comes to know that we belong to Him. The question that follows is this: well, how do we become a people that reflect that? How do we become a people that reflects belonging to Him? Well, the short answer is this: belong to Jesus. What I mean by that is belong to Him wholeheartedly, without reservation, exclusively and personally. Be His. Let Him know that you want to be His. I am yours, Lord. I want to belong to you. There's a devotional that I use on occasion, a daily devotional, that begins with what's called a prayer of consecration. And this prayer, it goes like this. And I try to say this daily. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. That's it. We belong to Him. Let's consecrate ourselves to Him, truly belonging to Him. And then in verse 2, he goes on in the letter and he says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now, the Thessalonians Christians were having some difficulty at the time of this writing. They were facing persecution. They were obviously experiencing fear and doubt. And so the apostle is encouraging them. And he begins by his usual, he often begins his letters this way, praying that they would have grace and peace. And that's what they needed, especially at this moment. And that's what we need too. We need God's grace. We need His peace in our hearts. And Paul identifies the source of grace and peace. What does he say? God, through God and his eternal Son, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be unto you. My prayer for you, our prayer for one another, is that God's grace and peace would be ours through Jesus Christ. And then, verses 3 and 4, we get to the, as he continues the encouragement, what I would call a healthy spiritual heart. So, these two verses, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing. That's one. Your love for one another is growing. That's two. And we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness. That's three. And all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. What does a healthy Christian look like? Faith, love, and hope. These three great works of God in the heart. Faith, love, and hope. Actually, a verse we are maybe familiar with is the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. The last verse says what? Do you remember? It says three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And that's exactly what he's communicating here to the Thessalonians. And he does this numerous times. We see this throughout the scripture, these three words together. In Colossians, let me just give you one example, Colossians 1. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your what? Of your faith in Christ Jesus and your what? Love for all of God's people, which come from your confident what? Hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. And he says this has been reflected in your life ever since you first heard the good news preached. So this saving work of God is producing something in his people, and that is a flourishing faith, a growing love, and an enduring and persevering faith. Some argue, we just came out of the Christmas season, some argue that the famous song, 12 Days of Christmas, was a coded way of communicating a Christian message. Partridge in a pear tree refers to Christ crucified. And I've heard of this before. Maybe true. We don't know for sure. Two turtle doves allude to the Old Testament and the New Testament. Three French hens, faith, hope, and love. Very important. The healthy heart of a Christian includes these three key words. Four calling birds, the four Gospels. Five gold rings, the first five books, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, and so forth and so on. But let's look at these three things. First of all, he says, the healthy Christian heart has a flourishing faith. Your faith is flourishing. Verse 3, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing. This is a mark of Christian advancement that your faith is flourishing. It's an ever-growing assurance. Surer and surer of Jesus, his presence, his grace, his love, his gifts, his goodness, his perfections, day by day, there's a flourishing, a more assurance of this. The Greek word here is only used right here in this verse, and it means to increase above ordinary degree, to flourish, or it means to abound exceedingly. Sometimes I think we limit what God can do in the human heart. We shouldn't do that. We who belong to him should open up to the work of the Spirit, yes, to even a flourishing faith, to an exceeding, abounding faith. One man wrote, my mind is not like a bed which has to be made and remade. There are some things of which I am absolutely sure. Yes. Oh, that we might grow in our assurance of God and his love and his beauty. That's right. Oh, that we can have this assurance of God loving us and our salvation in him. Your faith is flourishing. And there are many aspects of that, but let's go to the second thing. He also says your love is growing. He puts it this way, and your love for one another is growing. Now, that word growing, it means to make more or to be more, to increase, to increase, and that's the work of the Spirit. God's Spirit is increasing our love because our love is not perfected. but more and more it can be. So God's Spirit is perfecting our love, maturing our love. That's Christianity. And love is seen in, of course, as these Thessalonians, and we know, in affection for one another, but it's more than just a feeling. It's sacrificial service. It's about action. It's about extending grace when patience wears thin. It's about forgiveness, choosing forgiveness over resentment. It's about welcoming everyone, regardless of differences, into the church. It's about listening deeply, caring, and so forth. What did Jesus say? He was challenged on this. What is the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. He said the whole Old Testament, the writings of Moses, the law, the writings of the prophets, and the psalmist, all of those hang on this one law, to love God, and the other is like unto it, to love others. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to grow our hearts and increase our love for God and for others. That is a healthy heart. Your love is growing. And then third, he says this, your hope is enduring and persevering. Verse 4 says, we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you were suffering. Even in difficult times, we see that their hearts were flourishing in faith, growing in love, and persevering in hope. These are difficult times for these Christians. And even for us today, suffering and moral evil is one of the most difficult subjects to discuss, because often there's not an adequate answer to give someone who has suffered from evil or in some other way. We don't have all the answers for this, but I do know this. To leave God out of the equation, to remove God from the situation, only makes matters worse. And we must remember that God himself entered into human suffering. And it was through suffering that he redeemed humanity and gives us ultimate victory. Listen, ultimate victory, which means hope, even over the greatest of our enemies, death. That's it. That's the Christian hope. It perseveres to the end, and the hope is assured. He calls it endurance and faithfulness. Now, this does not simply mean that we go through life passively just taking the blows, just stoically taking the blows. But it's describing, the word here is describing a spirit which accepts the circumstances but also transforms the circumstances into a stepping stone of progress in the faith and in love. Look at what, this is a similar thing that Paul wrote to the Romans, Romans chapter 5. Look at these stepping stones. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Once again, in these few verses, we find faith, hope, and love together. A confident hope of salvation. Now, there's no shortage of bad news today. We can come up with much, both national and global. Wars, politics, divisions, just the strains of everyday life that all of us experience. There's more than enough depressing news today that we can give ourselves that can leave us feeling downright miserable. In a recent poll, CNBC reported that 66% of Americans say they're pessimistic now and for the future. A record high after the 17 years they've been doing this. In sum, they write, the poll stated, we've never found people more depressed. Let me say a couple things about that. One, things could be worse, right? They could be, all you got to do is look at our last century to find some things that happened. And some of you remember that. We could make a list there. But one historian has answered the question to the worst year in human history. And his candidate for that, this is a medieval scholar named Michael McCormick. from Harvard University. He says that the worst year in human history is 536 AD. He did not choose 1349, the Black Plague. He did not choose the Spanish flu in 1918 that killed 50 million people. He chose 536. That's when a volcanic eruption in Iceland flung Europe and parts of the Middle East and Asia into 18 months of plunging temperatures, fog so thick that the sun couldn't even be seen for a year. In July, it was 35 degrees. You think it's going to be cold in January in a couple of days? It was 35 degrees in July in Europe for a year. And then another plague started. All that to say this, remember, it could be worse. It could be 536. I'm kind of glad I'm living in 2024, right? We should be. But the main thing is this. We should remain encouraged and full of confidence, even in difficult times. Why? The nature of God. The nature of God. Who He is. And Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. It's not just that we're optimists, although some may be. It's not just that things may be going well in your life and family or work and so forth. We give God thanksgiving for that, of course. But we also know that we just never know what's going to happen at home. Instead, the foundational thing that keeps us full of faith and confidence is God. He is light and He is good. And in His presence, there is fullness of joy. To gaze upon Him, to worship Him, is not dependent on circumstances. It's to know Him. Christ, He's the foundation of faith, love, and hope. And to belong to Christ, to belong to Him, is to flourish in faith, to grow in love, and to persevere in hope. Now, just like with our physical bodies, there are certain things and practices we can do that can help us with our physical health. There are certain spiritual practices that will help us with our heart health spiritually. And we need to do those, worship and scripture and so forth. But all the while remembering, this is all of God's grace. All of this is according to His grace. So I encourage you to take hold of these divine realities for yourselves. And let us make this our prayer for 2024 and beyond, that we would be Christians, heart healthy, that have a flourishing faith, a growing love, and an enduring hope to the glory of God and for the good of those around us. Let's pray together. Thank You, Almighty God, for Your Word, Your truth to us through Your Word, and the grace of Your Son, our Lord. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would take these truths, imprint them upon our hearts, that we might be, by that same grace and work of the Spirit, flourish in our faith, grow in our love, and persevere in an assured hope that You are for us. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to close with a worship song. Let's worship the Lord of love, faith, and hope. Will you please stand as we worship together?